Folks, we have this troubling story in our gospel reading this morning, which Jesus encounters a Canaanite woman and comes across to us as uncaring, even rude. The Canaanites were ancient enemies of the Jews, yet Jesus ventured into their territory, the region of Tyre and Sidon, apparently to take time to rest after an exhausting ministry in Galilee. However, his reputation for healing and delivering had preceded him, and he was confronted by a Canaanite woman shouting above the crowd, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." She was a pagan, begging for mercy from Jesus, whom she addressed as Lord and identified as Son of David. Folks, we need to take note of the fact that the Gospel of Matthew was written by a Jew for Jews. Jesus is presented by Matthew as a new Moses who came not to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. The law is very important to Matthew's intended audience. It was important that Jesus be presented not as an opponent of the law, but as a trustworthy, authoritative interpreter of the law. So Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman is just the right story for Matthew to hold the attention of his Jewish audience. For it reveals Jesus as a respecter of the law, even though he may come across to us as harsh and unfeeling. But we need to remember, in God's economy, no details are accidental or coincidental. The way the law was interpreted, rabbis forbade physical contact between men and women, and even encouraged men to avoid the company of women altogether. The rule was rather clear. We read in the Mishnah, a document used in the first century to interpret the Torah, "One who excessively converses with a woman causes evil to himself, neglects the study of Torah, and in the end inherits purgatory." This Canaanite woman had two strikes against her before she ever shouted for Jesus' help. First, she was a woman. And second, she was a Canaanite. So any faithful Jew reading this story in Matthew's gospel would have expected Jesus to ignore the woman when she shouted out to him. That was the cultural norm of the day. She shouted, and we read Jesus' response, but he did not answer her at all. In other words, he ignored her. He gave her the silent treatment, so to speak. The Jewish people of the day would have approved of Jesus' dismissal of her desperate appeal for her daughter. But we know she didn't give up. For his disciples were annoyed and jump into the act saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." To which Jesus seems to affirm their feelings when he said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Folks, it's right at this point. The Jews of Jesus' day and you and I today have something to learn. The woman knew her status. She wasn't surprised by Jesus' reaction to her. And it gets worse before it gets better. For she wasn't put off, but became even more bold in her response to Jesus' dismissal. For she came, the text says, she came, humble in her boldness, she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." This is where it gets worse. For Jesus insults her, saying, it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Imagine making such a derogatory comment about an ethnic group in our culture today. But at that time and in that place, everyone reading the story was quite satisfied that she got put in her place, her rightful place, a woman, and a Canaanite woman at that. Now, everyone was expecting her to simply disappear, vanish, be gone. Instead, she stunned them with her response to this humiliation. Yes, Lord, she said. Yes, Lord. Even in the face of humiliation, she still honored Jesus by addressing him as Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. This is a profound story. And if you were a first century Jew reading this story in Matthew's gospel, you would have been stopped in your tracks with a huge paradigm shift in the making. A profound change in worldview was about to happen, unless, of course, you had the hardest of hearts. For Jesus acknowledged her, embraced her, when he said, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you wish. Addressing her as woman somewhat stings our ears, but it reveals a profound reversal in Jesus' response to the Canaanite woman. For in that time and in that place, it was an address of respect, of endearment. Jesus moved from dismissing her to honoring her faith. What's going on here? Matthew baited the Jewish readers with Jesus' dismissal. Then he reeled them in with her response and his response to her response. Folks, the faith of Christ is about profound shifts in worldview until all the skins of the onion are peeled away, revealing a heart that finally surrenders to God's purpose as a result of encountering Jesus Christ. With her response, and Jesus' response to her response, Jewish hearts would have been melted and surrendered to God's will. Embracing a Canaanite woman as a child of God. I don't understand all the parts of this story, but I see the conclusion. Sometimes this crucified, risen Lord seems harsh to us in his responses to us in our circumstances. But Jesus knows in ways, folks, that we do not know. And his seeming harshness only proves to be his kindness. Jesus met his own people where they were in their attitude toward women and Gentiles. Then he brought them to drink of the water of life when he said, woman, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." I discovered a surrendered heart is years in the making. Years of intentional discipleship are lived until finally we come to the place and surrender our hearts. Surrendering after having died with Christ on the cross to anything and everything that may distract us from knowing Christ and knowing the power of his resurrection. And there's an awful lot in this world that distracts us from knowing Christ and knowing the power of his resurrection in our lives. And dying is not easy. And dying with Christ on the cross is also not an easy death. It wasn't easy for Jesus on the cross, and it isn't easy for us when we finally die to ourselves with him. It's not easy. We cling to the things that we possess, and they possess us. And we have to surrender them until we surrender ourselves. And it's not easy. And sometimes in that process, Jesus seems awfully unkind and harsh. But he knows in ways we don't know. And that's what we're called to trust. Oswald Chambers has a word to say about this in regard to the rich young ruler who was challenged by Jesus to sell all he possessed and give it to the poor. Chambers wrote, "The rich young ruler went away from Jesus, speechless with sorrow, having nothing to say in response to Jesus' words. He had no doubt about what Jesus had said or what it meant, and it produced in him a sorrow with no words with which to respond." Have you ever been there? Has God's word ever come to you, he continues, pointing out an area of your life requiring you to yield it to him? The rich young ruler said, "Sell all that you have." In other words, rid yourself before God of everything that might be considered a possession until you are a mere conscious human being standing before God, and then give God that. That is your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, all that you are. Because when God has our hearts, truly has our hearts, he has all that we possess. All of it. Ultimately, life in Christ is about surrendering all that we have and all that we are to Jesus. And Jesus will not spare us the pain to bring us to that place. Sometimes he will appear to us as harsh and unkind, and it hurts. And it's a struggle. I've had moments when I thought, with a friend like Jesus, who needs enemies? The Canaanite woman's faith proved genuine. It proved genuine in the face of Jesus' first apparent indifference and then his harshness. But her faith was real. It wasn't put off. She didn't give up. a question arises for me from this encounter Jesus had with the Canaanite woman. Are the crumbs ever really enough for the Canaanite woman? The crumbs were more than enough, for she confessed Jesus as Lord, Son of David, and her daughter was delivered. It was more than enough. But what about us today? Are the crumbs enough? Are we satisfied with the crumbs of faith? I was raised in the church. I believed in Jesus as a small child with a spiritual awakening occurring when I was a young man. With that awakening, like the Canaanite woman, the crumbs were enough. Because it was so much more than I had before that awakening. I was satisfied. I was filled with joy. But now, with all the years that have passed, with all the awakenings that I've had, I know we should never settle for the crumbs. Never. It's never really enough. The crumbs are only the beginning. Just a teaser of the great banquet that Jesus has spread before us on the table. And yet so often, the crumbs are enough. Our own ambitions, our own desires, our idols blind us to the abundant life Jesus offers. And like the Canaanite woman, the crumbs are enough. And that's the state of Christ's church in Western culture today. We settle for the crumbs. I would like to know more of the Canaanite woman's story after her initial encounter with Jesus. We know from the book of Acts there was a church in Tyre, for the Apostle Paul visited his disciples there during his third missionary journey. Did she hear the gospel message when the church scattered from Jerusalem after the martyrdom of Stephen? Surely, if she did, her heart was already prepared to respond in faith after her initial experience with Christ. For her initial experience with Jesus and the faith she demonstrated was just the beginning of what would have been a radical change in her life beyond the healing of her demon-possessed daughter. In the beginning, the crumbs were enough. But had she heard the gospel of the kingdom of God, the crumbs would have proven to be just the beginning. Beyond this one encounter she had with Jesus recorded in Matthew, I don't know her story. But I know my story. Too often, the crumbs were enough. Too often, my heart was set on my own ambitions, my own agendas, my idols. Too often, I encountered God's people whose story reflected my story. The crumbs were enough. Too often, the Apostle Paul's rebuke of the church in Corinth could easily be spoken to us today. He wrote, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. Are the crumbs enough? Are we satisfied with the crumbs of faith, even though there's a whole banquet set before us? That is, are we still of the flesh? That is, do I have my own ambitions, my own agendas, my own desires that are more important to me than the kingdom of God? In the beginning of the faith journey, like the Canaanite woman, the crumbs are enough. Rightfully so. We don't know any better. But there's so much more to life in Christ beyond yesterday's and even today's experience. There's so much more, folks. And the question I leave you with this morning is, are the crumbs enough? The future of this congregation rests on your answer to that question. Are the crumbs enough? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.